that initial rush of guests is over, and now people are starting to reevaluate their salon relationships. Are you in the right position to make sure that you can acquire as many new guests as possible as we come out of a very interesting time? All on today's podcast. Check it out.
Salon owners are some of the most amazing people on planet Earth. The only problem is sometimes their hearts are so big and they give so much of themselves to their staff and guests that it creates unintended consequences. Our goal is to change the industry by elevating the way the rest of the world sees salons, spas, and barbershops and give it the credibility that it truly deserves. This is the Salon Owner Evo Revo Show.
Yeah, welcome to the show. I am joined today by the one, the only, the Mr. Doug Campbell. What's up, Doug? Good to see you today. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, Jason. How about yourself?
Dude, I'm doing super good. And today we're going to be talking about what kind of strategies do you need to deploy and operate in order to make sure that right now, when the opportunity is right, because people are constantly looking around for new opportunities, new stylists, new places they can call home. And again, a lot of salons have closed. A lot of salon people have just packed up and said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I mean, there really are some legit things that are happening. And we brought in an expert today that I think is going to be really helpful in helping you not only capitalize on some of those, but make sure that they stay long-term. So please welcome to the show, Kate Whitledge. What's up, Kate? How are you?
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here today, even though some of the circumstances for salon owners out there are tumultuous right now. Thank you for having me to talk about this topic.
Tumultuous is the word, I think, 100%. And Kate is like the podcast veteran. So, you know, Kate is a podcast aficionado. I'm honored to have you on, Kate, because you actually had me on your podcast however long ago it was. And now we've kind of reversed it. We've got you on. I'm just so grateful to have you here. I know your company, Meet Your Stylist, has really helped companies match. You got a stylist matchmaking service. We'll talk about that as we go through today. But, you know, I'm curious what your thoughts are on, you know, all these salons, because to your point on tumultuous, right, is that there are so many salons that just have a different, you know, they've rebooted their business. They're back in. And now all of a sudden the game has changed. What are some of the changes you're seeing between your salon and the salons that you guys work with and Meet Your Stylist? What are you seeing?
What I think is sad and hard is I'm seeing kind of across the board that there's this kind of lack of hope. What is that next big thing we have to look forward to? For so many team dynamics, that's usually a big education class or a big event in the industry to go off and do academy experiences in big cities. And I just see that that's weighing on people, that they're kind of going and doing the same thing every day to kind of survive and get through this, but they're lacking that energy of there's hope and joy in the future, which of course leads to not feeling really at peace and secure in where they're called to right now. So that's kind of what I'm seeing across the board.
Yeah. If you're seeing the same thing, do me a favor and just type in the chat and say, seeing it in the chat. And for those of you that are on with us live, I'd love to know where you're on from. So do me a favor, type in your city, because I think just understanding, you know, what we really can do with this is be able to let people see from really all around North America and all over the world is that, you know, I really appreciate your point, Kate, is that, you know, we do a lot of events within the Redken world and L'Oreal, and they have a huge event every year called Symposium, where it's every other year that, you know, 10,000 hairdressers to get together in Vegas. And like, that's not on the radar right now, obviously. Like, a group of 10,000 people getting together, clearly not on the existing plan. And we just finished up one of our destination trainings that we typically would have flown to a city to do. We did this, we were going to be out in Boston, and we ended up doing it digitally about a week ago. And we had to let everybody know, like, we're not going to be doing our next live destination unless something drastically changes. And like, you could have cut the disappointment with a knife. It was that thick. People were like, what are you doing to us? Because I think to your point, that excitement of wanting to go somewhere is super important. I mean, my wife and our household, we have a policy, like, we can't end a vacation without putting another vacation on the calendar, because you know, it's like you get up every day and do the things you don't want to do because you're looking forward to something that is powerful. So how are you managing that with your staff, with your team, that idea of like looking forward to something? Do you have anything that you're working on?
Well, we've talked about having a company retreat where we get away to some million-dollar, you know, home that sleeps over 20 people in the middle of the woods or on the lake.
That's cool.
And then they're like kind of nervous. Should we all be together in that way right now? Should we be separated? Will that be safe?
Yeah.
So I put out this kind of survey in our private Facebook group. Do you want to focus on maybe learning about this new product line? Would you want to try this new class potentially? Would you want to focus on this? Or do you want to just chill and get through the year? And the majority of the people voted, we just want to chill and get through the year. So we've really been able to do a lot with virtual education and checking in that way. But that's really been the cap to it. I do see some pioneers in our industry like Candy Shaw, who are still opening up their doors as an academy to bring people into their space for hands-on technique, which I think is awesome and good for her for leading the way and maybe encouraging other brands to consider, can we pull this off? There's got to be a way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was on a call this last week with some other players kind of in the same space. You know, I mentioned it before, I've been on his show, but Matt Beck, Jamie Dana, Andrew Carruthers from Sam Via's team. And, you know, we were just chatting about kind of what the future of education looks like. And I know the Sam Via crew has been putting out a lot of digital education. You know, they had like the show Must Go On, and they're still providing hair education digitally. I really do think that is a big part of the future of what people will look forward to, is like, what's the next big hair show or hair event? It just may be in a digital format. Like, you know, there's a huge consumer electronics show that's going to be out this year digitally. And I think it just makes a huge difference. You know, when people are pioneering, to your point, all these new opportunities. Now, speaking of pioneering new things, I think one of the things that exists out there is all of these people looking for new opportunities to meet stylists, right? And, you know, I think it, in the past, it used to be something where if you said, okay, I'm going to divorce my stylist or break up with my stylist, right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. We've all been there. If you're a consumer and you're watching this, you know exactly what the hell I'm talking about. Is you're like, okay, it's time for a change. I have to uncomfortably break up with my stylist or ghost them and never call them back again and look for somebody else. And I say this because there are quite literally stylists around all over the world that just ghosted their clients during closure and pandemic. They never were in communication with them. Or they just said, hey, by the way, I'm open again. And they're like, well, look, I've already had my hair cut 2 times in the driveway or whatever the heck happened, you know, during quarantine. And they have all these new things. They're like, well, look, I might want to find somebody else. And you've created a system called Meet Your Stylist. Obviously, we'll talk about that today. But there's lots of other things I want to make sure that you guys get. And by the way, if you've heard of Meet Your Stylist, say heard of it in the chat. If it's new, do me a favor and say new. But I think this is really a revolutionary way for somebody to not just call a random salon and say, hey, do you have somebody who cuts men's hair? Hey, do you have somebody who cuts curly hair? Yeah, I do. Her name is Susan. Here you go. Right? Like, that's kind of the old way of doing things. Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second. And what are some of the things about that are an advantage of not just calling the salon and saying, do you have somebody who cuts women's hair?
Well, you're spot on with kind of the old way, but we're still doing that. Many people, that's still their way.
Yeah.
Of just connecting the prospects or the people calling in, future guests, with somebody who happens to do what they're looking for. And I think one of our big mistakes with our front, you know, guest service team members is saying, oh, everybody here is so great. Well,
right.
Yeah. But if that were the case, we wouldn't have a national retention rate average of under 30%.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think what's kind of a sting for owners is that if we don't get a guest when they come in for their first visit, if that experience isn't awesome with their stylist, they won't come back again. And it's typically because we fear rejection as humans. We don't want to be rejected. We don't want to reject others. So it's not that I'm scared to come in because she wrecked my hair. It's usually not about a massive, you know, issue with their actual cut or color. It's not like, most people don't even know there's like a 10% range where they wouldn't even know if their haircut was like perfect or not.
Right.
It's usually they didn't really get like click with that stylist.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
To your point, I mean, I was mentioning earlier about the, like, you know, breaking up with your stylist, because it is like dating, your hair dating. You know what I mean? Is you got to find something. Look, if you're going to sit with somebody for an hour or longer and get a service done, like, you sure as heck better get along with them, because if they're rude or mean or just you just don't get along personality wise, you're not going to hang out. right? Now, Doug, you've done some interesting things prior to having Meet Your Stylist. I know you guys are integrating Meet Your Stylist. And if you can pop this up on the screen, team, there's Lisa, who, by the way, is on from Olympia, Washington. She said she's using Meet Your Stylist and she loves it. If you can put that up on the screen, that'd be awesome. But yeah, so I mean, Lisa, a big Meet Your Stylist fan.
Hey, Lisa.
Lisa. And but Doug, you did something kind of before Meet Your Stylist. What were you doing before that was kind of like, you know, generation one of tuning stylists into the right guests?
Yeah, we created a spreadsheet, and it still lives for the backup use, you know. But it's, yeah, we got a grid basically that has the services and the stylists, and it's love, like, or hate. So that gives us some kind of guidance of, we don't want to put somebody with something they hate to do. That's Kate's point. That's not a good first experience. They can do it, but it's not what they love to do. So, but you know, Meet Your Stylist takes it to that next level of it. Lifestyle questions, all these other things, to make sure you're really matching up. And the way I really like it, and the way I like to recommend people do it, is that you have it all set up with online booking and all, so they never even have to interact with the front desk, that it goes straight through and onto the books. And one of the things that we do that I think is very helpful is we have a new color client appointment that blocks off 2.5 hours with no split time. To Kate's point, that makes that first experience exceptional. If they get booked into a split time, or someone's in their split time, then that can make it uncomfortable. And what could have been a great relationship was not, because, you know, a lot of times people don't know what to book either. So if it's just this big block of time, we can do whatever we want to do with them, and they can build that relationship. So I think with Meet Your Stylist, you're at a great starting point, and then you give them the space to build that relationship between those two things. I mean, we've seen our guest count and retention go up significantly. Because I think there's a lot of people just haven't thought through that process, especially at this time, point in time. They're just kind of treading water.
Right. Well, especially in California, for crying out loud, I got to just acknowledge it. You know, California salons are still closed. The governor literally told us, feel free to do parking lot quarantine haircuts. That's what we're doing in California. So good luck with that, right? Like, that's its own, that's its own beast in and of itself that I'm not going to get into on this podcast for sure. But, you know, this idea that as you're talking to people, making sure they get matched well. Kate, why do you think the matching is such an important part of this process? And what have you done to help make sure these matches are really strong?
Oh, it's so important, because what we do is based on behavioral science, or what we know as behavioral economics, which is a coined term that pretty much means that people buy based on their emotions. Over 60% of purchases are made based on somebody's emotion to what the purchase means. Mm. And so it's so important that we consider that in our kind of sales funnel process of connecting new people with our team. It's really everything, in my opinion. And one of my burdens was, in the mind of the buyer, if I schedule a new guest with a level one new talent, they're automatically going to have this preconceived notion that this stylist isn't going to be as good. Mm. And we've all heard the saying, you know, people buy the best or the least expensive. There's no in between. Well, we can avoid some of those objectives that new guests would have and why they see certain stylists if we eliminate some of those logistical barriers of like cost and time and title. If we're really diving deeper into connecting with somebody who's going to be a great match based on personality, lifestyle, level, languages, and values.
Nice.
So when, you know, one of our strategies is we always give guests their top three matches at a salon. So they're not only seeing, oh my gosh, you know, I have three matches here. It allows them to feel like there's more than one stylist at this salon that's going to be a great fit for me. So many of our salon owners use this tool for retention. They want guests to know that if for some reason your stylist is on maternity or paternity leave, if they have an extended leave of absence, or if they're no longer here, the good news is we know under our roof that we're the type of culture that there's more than one person that can take care of you. So it's all like kind of a psychological, really at the forefront of connecting people, not just with our stylist, but with our whole team. And
totally.
Feeling really comfortable. You know, it's a fact, by the way, and we forget this sometimes because we're worried about making sure, is that guest going to be put in, like Doug said, for the right amount of time for their service?
Right.
And that's why Meet Your Stylist has, you know, where people can upload their photo for a pre-consultation. We won't get into that now. But
yeah.
Just thinking about, most clients are more scared to see a new stylist than they are to see a new dentist.
That is a fact. That's so crazy. And by the way, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what are some of these questions? How can you help adapt, whether you use Meet Your Stylist or not? How can you adapt your process to make sure that you have the right guest matching with the right client to keep them for a lifetime, all in just 45 seconds. We'll be right back. So there are so many tools out there and so many things that are available, including what we just showed you, are all brand new membership level of the High Performance Salon Academy. You can go to salonowner.tv to go check out some of the tools and resources that are available. Hundreds of videos all in one place, accessible for you with tons of tips, just like what we're talking about today, and hundreds of more. So please make sure you go check that out if you want more information on salonowner.tv or becoming a member of the High Performance Salon Academy. Do me a favor and comment with the word member, and a member of our team will get plugged in with you and make sure that you get information about checking out different levels of our High Performance Salon Academy. So Kate, we were just chatting about kind of what are some of these questions, right? Like you mentioned, like uploading a photo and doing things like this. And Doug and I were talking about this before. You know, Doug's got the love it, like it, hate it system that was kind of like, you know, pre-meet your stylist. Most people, though, when they're going out to just meet guests, they just go out there and they're snooping their social media, right? They're snooping their social media and they're trying to figure out, okay, is this the right person for me? And there's some goods and bads. And Doug, I want to talk about some of the bads in there that we need to watch out for, some pitfalls in there. But Kate, what are some questions that you guys use to help match people in the process?
One of the questions for love languages is, how do you feel most appreciated? Now, I kind of want to share, because this may not be something that's known by everybody, the power of our matchmaking system is really in the hands of the stylist. So they are filling out their side of the survey. They're choosing, who do I do my best work with? Am I kind of more timid and more of a supportive personality, where I want somebody to come in and say, here's what I think, can you please do it? And I say, yeah, you know, and I want to please you and make you happy. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, we have stylists who are like bold and like, girl, we're going to do this. Trust me, this is the way. They're the expert. And so they get to identify, who do they want in their chair? Who's their perfect stylist? What kind of hair do they do? So when it comes to that love, like, hey, they don't even need to select certain services that they don't want more of in their chair just to begin with. So they're already going to eliminate getting matched based on that criteria, which is really powerful.
Yeah, there's a dentist I used to go to, and he asked this question on their survey. It was like, do you want to patch it and get the bare minimum done? Do you want to do anything the dentist recommends, or do you want to handle whatever insurance covers? And like, I thought it was really interesting because it sets up like the buyer profile for what they're after. Like, I think one of the big things about an experience inside a salon is the guest should get the experience they're looking for. And what ends up happening, to exactly your point about this, you know, who's the more timid, like, hey, what do you want me to do today? Versus like, here's what we're doing. We're changing your whole look and we're glamming you out today. Like, that idea that you just get matched with somebody who meets your personality is so massive. Cause I think that's the number one thing that leads to disappointment. And the salon owner works so hard to get that guest through the door. It's like, if you've got a staff of 5 or a staff of 50, trying to figure out who that guest should go to, that's going to be the best matchmaker. And I don't know if is that your official title? Stylist matchmaker. I feel like that needs to be on a business card somewhere. Right. But I think that idea of making sure that they get matched well is what is a key to increasing that retention number. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. You know, when I first started this program, I needed a way to get more clients in the chairs of my available staff. We all have our top performing stylists who are booked out forever, but how do we really help fill the chairs of our staff? And it's a burden, especially for, we're a commission salon. When we started this off, it is for the same of your community. We're all in the same boat. And so when I identify that, look, 80% of the people visiting our salon website haven't come in to do business with us, that's where I knew this needed to be. This needed to be on our website and through our normal social media channels, where we're posting about our work and doing all the things that we're doing through Google or Yelp or Instagram. It doesn't matter. If we simply say, hey, check out this amazing balayage by our stylist so-and-so, click here to see if she's your salon soulmate. I mean, it's going to drive people to our website. We already have that traffic coming in. And what we found when we first launched this is our conversion rates were 70%, meaning 7 out of 10 people that were taking this survey were coming in to do business with you, What's so awesome good. Is they're not bouncing off to check out the other salons in your area. It's such a competitive advantage. Yeah. And that engagement, since it's all about them, is so powerful. So our salons, you know, throughout Canada and the US average between 35 and 55% conversion rates on their website, which is still awesome. Massive compared to any other form.
Oh my gosh, less than 10%
marketing campaign. Any other
form. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, so good. Now, Doug, I want to make sure we snuck this in before you wrap up. You had said something at the beginning, and I was like, man, we got to talk about this. Because even if they do go on your website and they just try and they start snooping you on social, right? It's one thing to get to know the stylist. It's another if the stylist kind of fails the sniff test. You want to talk about the sniff test for a second, Doug, on social media?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, somebody, once they get an action, they're going to look at their social. It's just the world that we live in now. And so we always coach our staff to, you know, be aware that if that's the way someone's first impression of you is that the impression that you want to put out there? Because sometimes people get a little too excited, a little too expressive on some of their points of view that should be kept in a different arena, but not right out there for the public to see. And they just got to think that through. We got people from all different points of view that work for us, and I encourage that. I think everybody should have their own view and believe it and have good, strong discussion. But you just got to be aware of what you're putting out there for a first impression of somebody. I think if you think through it through that box, this is your first impression. So that's your first filter. You can go deeper in more private groups about other things. But I think you just need to be aware of that. And you can do what you want to do. I'm just saying, if people are going to snoop your social, you know, you don't want to scare the hell out of them.
Yeah. Doug, you danced around that really well. What I want to say is be careful about what you post politically, religiously, like all these other things that are going on. Just be aware of if you're posting hot topics. I mean, for crying out loud, I had a receptionist who was working for me who started posting all these like, take this quiz to see how much of a, you know, I'm just going to not say the word, but like, see how much of a person who sleeps around, I will just say it that way, see how much of that type of person you are. And I was like, hey, if you're friends with all of our clients, that's not really appropriate for business. He's like, hey, my social media is for me. It's not for business. I'm like, well, then you got to beware that, like, you know, the world looks at this. This is a public forum for you to be seen at. How do you want to portray yourself? You wouldn't bring that up at work. You got to be careful not to bring it up online. So just remember, especially as a stylist, you know, you can be seen everywhere. And this is where I'm saying, I think there's so many really good things that are out there, but be aware of what you post. Figure out how you can get across the line and get matched from a personality standpoint. And again, maybe you've seen this, Kate, where like people are in a spot where once they do that, they snoop on their social media a little bit less. It's not, can you take a perfect picture? It's, are you the right personality type? And can you accomplish what I want, my needs and goals? Because, if you're a stylist and you're like, hallelujah, there's something that finally judges me based upon my ability to cut hair, not my ability to take a freaking gallery award-winning photo. I think that's just massive, my opinion.
Yeah. And for those of the stylists who've worked so hard to build up their gallery of work, when we display the top three matches for that future guest, we actually give the option if they want to include their Instagram handle, and people can click through at that point and say, you know what? I love all these people, but this girl especially is great with blonde hair and bobs, and I'm going to try her first. So that's a real affirming.
That's the only stylist I work with.
Right? It's a secondary affirmation.
Yeah, I think that's a better order of things too, is that you get the relationship and then you look, instead of looking at the work first.
Correct.
And trying to go that way. I think it's important to get the personality match and then look at the work from there and get down to who you really, really like. So I think that switching of that order is a interesting paradigm that's happened.
100%.
Well, I agree.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to say.
It's all about meeting expectations. So if we're following people on social media, we do this too. We build people up on a pedestal. We have this fantasy of how amazing they're going to be. Wow, look at, but what they're putting out there is what they want you to believe about them, of course, which is awesome. But sometimes the issue is when you actually come in, maybe that expectation isn't quite met. Who I thought you were going to be isn't in a line with what I'm receiving right now. And so I think that Doug brings up a point. If you're not using Meet Your Stylist, I would still encourage you to really remember that you got to live up to whatever standard and expectations you're putting out there, which is a big calling. And I think that's a very good thing to remember, because when we have retained guests, we see this drop off usually around visit 5 or 7. And that's typically because we lose the chivalry we have with people, or the desire to impress. But one of the powerful things about Meet Your Stylist is it really eliminates not only the fear of a new guest first visit, but it also relieves the stylist of anxiety of meeting new people constantly and having to prove to them, you can trust me. It kind of gets rid of that blind date experience. And now there's this softened approach of, you already trust me, you know, and the sales cycle is no, like buy or trust and buy. It kind of speeds us up through that. So we trust you, like we're matched. Let's do this. I'm excited. And it really sets such a good tone psychologically for both sides of the parties.
Yeah, I love it. And Kate, clearly you are an expert at this. So thank you so much. I love that you are the stylist matchmaker. I also think, you know, title stamped, right? And I think not only that, but it's really one of those things where I want you guys as salon owners to really pay attention to, you know, the key to your wealth and the key to making the profit that you want as a salon owner has a lot to do with your retention. It's expensive to bring customers through the door. If you can keep more of those customers and more of those stylists because the stylists are happy and the guests are happy, that will lead to your financial security and your success in the future. So Kate, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate you having you on today. It was just my pleasure having you. If you guys got some value out of today, do me a favor and comment value or type in the chat, what was your biggest takeaway of today? And as always, do me a favor and make sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you've been enjoying it, you've been hanging out with us for maybe the last couple of months. We've been going through, actually we've been started since April 1st, 2020, been doing this podcast. And if you really enjoyed it, we'd appreciate a review and giving more information so that other people can check out this podcast, share it with them. Kate, thank you so much for being on today. Super grateful.
Thank you both. I love you guys. Jason, Doug, thank you. Robert behind the scenes. What a great team. I'm really grateful to be here. And hey, everybody watching. So good to see you.
Awesome. And by the way, Kate, what's the website they can go to check out your podcast and also Meet Your Stylist?
So, of course, it's meetyourstylist.com. I encourage you to watch the little homepage video to learn more. And beyond the technique, where we know we're changing the way salon owners are supported in their business, just like y'all are doing a real big job, a good job. And I'm happy to be here with you, collaborating on everything with you, because your people are our people and we have the same mission. It's been really fun to work with you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And yeah, Jennifer, who is from Asia. Hey, Jennifer, good to see you on here. She said, yeah, interesting, because I feel the salons in my country really need help. So thank you, Jennifer, for being on today. And yeah, this is not a North America problem. This is a global problem that we get to work through and become better as salon owners together. Until then, you guys have a great week. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Bye, Kate.
Thanks for listening to the Evo Revo podcast. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe, leave us a review, and you can always get more information, including show notes and the video episodes at evorevopodcast.com.